Welcome to the University of Chicago Law School. My name is Bill Watson. I'm a member of the law school's class of 2014, and I'll be leading this audio tour of the law school's building. The law school is not only a great place to learn and to start your legal career, it's also home to endearing traditions and a fascinating history. In the course of our tour together, I hope to impart to you at least some small measure of my interest in and love for this place. But before we get started, let me briefly summarize the route that our tour will take. We'll start on the second floor of the building, at the circulation desk of the D'Angelo Law Library. We'll then climb up to the third floor of the library to see the student services suite and study areas, and then to the fourth floor of the library to see the book stacks and faculty offices. We'll then ride the elevators down to the basement to see the journal offices, pictures of past graduating classes, and the seminar rooms. We'll next return to the ground floor of the building to see the courtroom and the auditorium, and from there, we'll stroll along the east wing of the building, passing the faculty portraits, classrooms, and clinic offices. Finally, we'll stop by the Green Lounge before finishing our tour back where we started, on the second floor of the library. The entire tour should take approximately 1 hour. If you're in a hurry, you can shorten the tour by skipping tracks and listening to only those parts that interest you. Now, to get started, let's leave the circulation desk and walk up the large staircase at the center of the library. When you reach the top of the library center staircase, you'll find the Student Services Suite directly in front of you. There are four important offices located here. First, there's the Dean of Students Office, which plans students' events, works with students on course selection, and takes care of student health and wellness. Second, there's the LLM Office. Unlike the LLM programs offered at a number of other law schools, Chicago's LLM program is not intended to be a specialist course in study in a particular legal field, such as taxation or securities regulation. Rather, Chicago's LLM program is aimed specifically at introducing international students to U.S. law in general. LLM students at Chicago often take classes in the 1L curriculum and so bring an interesting, international perspective to 1L class discussions. Third, there's the Admissions and Financial Aid Office. Be sure to stop by our admissions office during your visit to the law school. Their team can answer any questions you might have and also arrange for you to sit in on a law school class. The fourth and final office located here in the Student Services Suite is the Office of Career Services, often referred to by its acronym OCS. Since a large part of OCS's role is to guide students towards their 1L and 2L summer employment and toward their post-graduation employment, let's take a moment now to talk about the kinds of jobs that our students pursue. During the summer after 1L year, there are a variety of employment opportunities available to students. About one-third of our students will do public interest work, one-third will work for some level of government, and the remaining third will work either at law firms, in the business arena, or here at the law school, in the clinics, or as research assistants for professors. The OCS counselors are invaluable in navigating these different opportunities. Myself, I followed the advice of my OCS counselor, Abby Willard, and applied to work as a research assistant for Professor Martha Nussbaum during the summer after my 1L year. I was hired for the job, had a great experience, and Professor Nussbaum remains an invaluable mentor for me, even today. OCS also guides students through their 2L summer job searches, which, unlike the 1L summer job search, is centered around a single event known as on-campus interviewing, or OCI for short. OCI takes place from mid to late August every year. During that time, representatives from hundreds of employers from around the country come to our campus to interview our students. Oftentimes, students will do up to 20 or 25 interviews during the 2 weeks of OCI, and many students get their 2L summer employment in this way. About 80% of our students will work at a law firm during their 2L summer. The remainder will choose to work either in the public interest or for some level of government. And OCS has counselors specifically dedicated to helping them find those types of employment. Oftentimes, where students work during their 2L summers is also where they will work post-graduation. Many of our students, however, choose to pursue a one-year judicial clerkship for their first year as a lawyer. And OCS plays a crucial role in the clerkship application process as well, presenting informative panels on clerkships throughout the year and helping students to organize their recommendation letters and transcripts as they apply. About 20 to 30% of each graduating class will clerk for either a state or federal judge. We'll now leave the Student Services Suite to take a quick lap around the third floor of the D'Angelo Law Library. So please turn to face north, looking into the center of the library, and begin walking to your left. As we explore this floor of the library, hugging the railing and taking a right around the first corner, the first item of note that we'll see is the Fulton Reading Room on our left. This room contains popular magazines and newspapers and is a great place for a study break. Being a runner, I particularly like coming here from time to time to relax and leaf through the issues of Runner's World magazine that we store here. Of course, Relaxing is made that much easier by the room's comfy red chairs, which, by the way, were designed by the same man who designed this building, Eero Saarinen, the architect famous for creating the St. Louis Arch. I should also mention that the Fulton Reading Room houses one of the newest additions to our library, an inventory of DVDs, including both classic and newer titles, available for students to check out from the circulation desk. Leaving the Fulton Reading Room, we'll now take another right as we continue our lap of the third floor. As we do so, please feel free to step through the book stacks and walk up to the windows overlooking the northern part of our campus. Most of our students choose to do the better part of their studying here in the D'Angelo Law Library, and these tables by the windows are a particularly popular spot. Myself, I especially enjoy sitting at these tables during the spring and summer months when I can take little mental breaks to lean back in my chair, stare out at the reflecting pool in front of the building, and watch the wind trace little patterns over the water. Now, if you look through the windows past the reflecting pool and 60th Street outside, you'll see a grassy strip of land called the Midway Plaisance. The Midway is actually not part of the university, but is rather parkland owned by the city. If it's winter, you'll likely see skaters on the Midway ice rink. The ice rink is operated by the Chicago Parks Department and open to the public. Interestingly enough, the ice rink's foundation stands on top of the exact spot where George Washington Ferris Jr. debuted his famous Ferris wheel during the 1893 World's Fair. If it's spring or summer, foliage from the Midway's trees will probably block your view of the rest of campus to the north. If it's fall or winter, however, you should be able to see clear across the Midway to the rest of the University of Chicago. I'll point out that the building with the two towers that's directly across from the law school is Harper Memorial Library, which is probably Chicago's most iconic building. Harper is regularly voted onto lists of the most beautiful university libraries in the world. In fact, it was modeled after the same library at Oxford that inspired the architecture of Hogwarts in the Harry Potter films. And for that reason, you'll often see undergrads in the college wearing shirts that say, "I came to the University of Chicago, ... because I was waitlisted at Hogwarts." The D'Angelo Law Library and Harper Memorial Library are just two of seven libraries here on campus. And altogether, our libraries house nearly 8 million volumes. We'll now continue on our circuit of the third floor. If you moved near the windows, please walk back through the book stacks towards the center of the library. Once you reach the railing, turn left and continue walking, taking a right turn around the third corner. As you reach the double glass doors, please go through those doors to the elevator waiting area and take the elevator up to the fourth floor of the building. Once you reach the fourth floor of the building, please feel free to walk around and explore its book stacks and study areas. You'll notice that the faculty have their offices all around the perimeter of this floor and of the two floors above us. One of the things that's special about our law school and that distinguishes it from a lot of other law schools is that our faculty actually have their offices in the law library where they can be easily accessible to students. Most of our professors have an open door policy, such that if they're in their offices, they'll simply leave their doors ajar so that students can feel welcome to come in and speak with them. Also on the fourth floor, you'll find more of Saarinen's comfy red chairs, tables interspersed among the book stacks, and carrels that can be checked out from the circulation desk for a more permanent study space. There's also a TV lounge, very popular among our LLM students during the World Cup season, in which students can take a break to watch the news or to catch a sports game. The library includes another two floors above us with layouts identical to this floor. You're welcome to peruse the fifth and sixth floors at your leisure. If you would like to do so, please pause the audio tour until you are ready to leave the library. If, however, you are ready to continue the tour, please return to the elevators and ride directly down to the basement of the building. Once you reach the basement, please exit the elevators and turn left. Proceed about 20 feet down the hall and stop facing the glass doors on your left. Behind these doors is the office of the law school's three student-edited journals, the Law Review, the Chicago Journal of International Law, CJIL for short, and the Legal Forum. About 80 students, so close to half, of each graduating class will work on a journal during their time at the law school, about 40 on the Law Review, and about 20 on each of the other two student-edited journals. Journal membership in Chicago is mostly determined through a writing competition, with the Law Review also selecting some of its membership based on 1L grades. All students interested in working for a journal are required to complete the writing competition, which takes place during the first 2 weeks of the summer after 1L year, and includes both essay and editing components. After the law school registrar extends invitations to join the law review to approximately the top 10% of the 1L class based on grades, the remainder of the law review's membership is determined by the blindly graded results of the writing competition. And once the law review membership is set, CGIL and the Legal Forum then extend invitations for membership on their journals based solely on the results of the writing competition. Membership on any journal is a one-year commitment. 2L students who wish to do a second year of journal work can run for their journal's editorial board and, if elected, continue their journal duties into the 3L year. During the time with the journal, every student writes a student comment. That is a research paper, often on a disputed area of law, such as an issue about which the Federal Circuit Courts of Appeal disagree. And many students have their comments published by their journal. Myself, I've served first as a staffer and then as the book review editor of our law review, and doing so has been one of the most challenging but rewarding experiences of my whole law school career. Working on a journal has vastly improved my writing, editing, and legal research skills. You'd be surprised how adept you get at finding resources on Westlaw or LexisNexis just by site-checking a single article with its 200 or more footnotes, let alone 5 such articles over the course of a year. And more importantly, it's been inspiring for me to see the degree to which our journal members sincerely care about their journals. We also have 3 faculty-edited journals, the Journal of Law and Economics, the Journal of Legal Studies, and the Supreme Court Review. As an item of note, I'll mention that the late Ronald Coase published his famous article, The Problem of Social Cost, in our very own Journal of Law and Economics. The Problem of Social Cost is the most cited law review article of all time and is one of the reasons for which Coase was awarded the Nobel Prize. The Coase theorem, which was developed in that paper, is something that you'll come across in many classes here at Chicago. In short, the theorem states that in a world with zero transaction costs, entitlements will find their way into the hands of the parties that value them most, regardless of their initial allocation. Trust me, once you're a student here, you'll be able to recite the Coase theorem in your sleep. We'll now leave the journal offices to explore the rest of the law school's basement. So, as you face the journal offices, please turn left and retrace your steps back past the elevators. As you walk, you'll notice the composite photos of our past graduating classes on the wall to your left. And as long as we're walking past the composite photos, let me tell you a little bit about the composition of each of our graduating classes. Typically, we have about 190 students per graduating class, which gives our law school a smaller and more intimate feel than most of our peer schools. Our students are often drawn from 90 or more different undergraduate institutions. Their average age is usually between 24 and 25, and about 60% of them have had some work experience before coming to the law school. When each entering class arrives, it is divided into 6 sections of roughly 30 students each. 1Ls have all of their first-year classes with their section, and this makes it easy for students to form study groups, to share notes, and to discuss what they learned in class. Moreover, the students often become close friends with many of their section mates and form relationships that last throughout and beyond their time here at the law school. When you reach the end of the hallway, take a brief glance to your right. If you look straight ahead, past the rows of lockers, you'll see a number of theater posters framed on the back wall. These are posters from each of our past law school musicals, 2-act original musicals written and performed by our students each year. If you like, you can pause the tour now and take the time to look at the posters more closely. If, however, you're ready to move on, please turn left and then take an immediate right, traveling up a short ramp as we continue our path towards the northeast corner of the building. We are now in the lower level of the classroom wing of the law school. This is where our seminar rooms and the students' lockers are located. As you walk down this corridor, you'll also see bulletin boards with posters from our student organizations lining the back wall. There are over 60 student organizations here at the law school, including groups for students who share a common religion or ethnicity, groups focused on specific areas of the law, such as IP law or entertainment and sports law, service groups like the Chicago Law Foundation, groups focused on a certain political ideology, such as the American Constitution Society, or one of the original chapters of the Federalist Society. And finally, student groups formed just for fun, like the Winston Churchill Gaming Society. Now, all along the right side of the lower level of the law school's classroom wing, you'll see seminar rooms, each denoted by a letter A through E. If one of the rooms happens to be open and empty, please go inside to take a closer look. As a 1L, you'll have only one course held in these seminar rooms, your Bigelow Legal Research and Writing course. This course's main requirements are a memo in the fall of 1L year, a second memo in the winter, and then a larger brief in the spring, which includes an oral argument component. Legal research and writing here at Chicago is taught by our Bigelow Fellows, who are all up-and-coming legal academics, completing something a little like a postdoctoral fellowship here at the law school. As a 2L or 3L student, you'll be in these seminar rooms much more often. All 2L and 3L courses are labeled either lecture classes or seminar classes. The lecture classes are larger and are held upstairs in the lecture rooms. Seminar classes, by contrast, are usually capped at 20 students, are held in the seminar rooms, and are more discussion-based. Personally, I love seminar classes, and I always try to take as many of them as I can. Some seminar classes, called Greenberg seminars, are taught not here in the seminar rooms, but rather out of the professors' homes. Greenberg seminars are one-credit courses, are usually limited to 12 to 15 students, and generally cover fun topics of particular interest to the professors, such as law and literature, wine law, or even the HBO series, The Wire. We're now going to walk farther north, past seminar rooms E, D, C, B, and finally A. And when you reach the end of the corridor, please head down the short ramp on your left, then take a very sharp right and walk straight. Continue past the restrooms and the vending machines, and enter the building's northeast elevator. Then please take the elevator up to floor 1F. As you exit the northeast elevator onto floor 1F, you'll find the Weymouth Kirkland courtroom directly in front of you. If the courtroom is open and empty, please feel free to walk inside. The courtroom is home to our annual in-house moot court competition, known as the Hinton Moot Court Competition, which takes place throughout the academic year in three separate rounds. In the fall, all 2Ls and 3Ls may enter the competition by arguing both sides of a current case. From that fall competition, 10 to 12 students are selected to advance to a semifinal round, held during the winter quarter, for which contestants brief and argue a second case. Four finalists then continue on to brief and argue yet another case in the spring. This final round of the Hinton Moot Court competition is often judged by real federal appellate court judges. The Weymouth Kirkland Courtroom also occasionally hosts highly regarded named lectures, such as the annual Dewey Lecture on Law and Philosophy, or Fulton Lecture on Legal History. It is also used for our roughly biannual Law and Literature Conference. For instance, in 2014, as part of the Crime in Law and Literature Conference, faculty and students performed selections from Sophocles' Oresteia here in the courtroom, and crime thriller novelist Scott Turow delivered the conference's keynote address. We'll now leave the courtroom to see the law school's auditorium. As you exit the courtroom, you can turn either right or left, it doesn't matter, and head up one of two short flights of stairs to the auditorium. If the doors are open, please feel free to take a quick peek inside. Prospective or admitted students often ask me whether classes are ever held in the auditorium. The answer is no, classes are never held in the auditorium. Rather, we reserve the auditorium to host celebrity speakers like Supreme Court justices. For instance, in my time at the law school, I've seen Justices Scalia and Ginsburg deliver lectures in this room. We also occasionally use the auditorium for school-wide programming, such as 1L orientation or talking to the 3Ls about applying for admission to the bar. We'll now exit the auditorium, head down the stairs, and slowly work our way west and south along the ground floor of the building. We'll now walk west towards the entrance to the law school building. As we walk along this hallway, it's worth taking a second to stop and examine the portraits of Chicago's most distinguished faculty, both past and present. One of the first portraits that you'll see on your left is that of Ernst Freund. Known in academic circles as a pioneer in administrative law, Freund is best known in Chicago as being a pioneer of our famed interdisciplinary style of legal education. Freund was a professor of political science in the 1890s and was one of the main proponents of establishing a law school here at the University of Chicago. Being German-educated, he was a proponent of the university ideal of Wissenschaft, the notion that university education should embrace all of the university's disciplines and systematically join them in conversation with each other. Like Freund, our first university president, William Rainey Harper, was a staunch advocate of interdisciplinary legal education. As a student here, you'll often hear people quote Harper as saying that a scientific study of law involves the related sciences of history, economics, philosophy, the whole field of man as a social being. Interdisciplinary study remains prominent at Chicago today, as is demonstrated by the law school's frequent cross-listing of its courses with other departments in the university, many interdisciplinary workshops, such as the Law and Philosophy Workshop, Law and Economics Workshop, or Legal History Workshop, and policy of encouraging students to take up to 12 credits, that is, 4 classes, in other academic departments or professional schools. The idea is that as long as our students are going to spend 3 years of their lives at a world-class research institution, they should really take advantage of the opportunity to learn from experts in other disciplines. Thus, our students often take courses at the Booth School of Business or the Harris School of Public Policy. Myself, I've taken classes in the History, English, and French departments. The law school's proximity to the rest of campus and the fact that it's on roughly the same academic calendar as the rest of the university makes it easy for students to take courses across the Midway. Now, as you turn left and continue south along the upper level of the classroom wing of the building, you'll see on your left, right outside of Classroom 1, a portrait of Edward H. Levy. Now, Levy was a man at the University of Chicago, if ever there was one. He went to the Chicago Lab Schools from kindergarten through 12th grade, completed his undergraduate studies at Chicago's college, and then finished his legal studies here at the law school. After graduating, he joined the law school faculty at the age of 26 in 1937. He later served as dean of the law school, then as provost of the university, and finally as president of the university before leaving to accept the somewhat lesser position of Attorney General of the United States under President Gerald Ford. In his first year of being a professor, Levy invented Chicago's now famous Elements of the Law course. Over the years, several of our more well-known faculty members have taught Elements of the Law, including Carl Llewellyn, Cass Sunstein, and now David Strauss. As it is taught today, the course is an introduction to interdisciplinary perspectives on the law. In it, students learn law and economics, law and philosophy, legal history, and even some law and psychology. The purpose of the course is to give students a toolkit of concepts and ideas that they can then apply in all of their other classes. That's why it's taught as a requirement in autumn of 1L year, because it provides a foundation on which students can build the rest of their legal education. If you want a preview of what Elements of the Law is like, I highly recommend a book by UChicago alum Ward Farnsworth entitled The Legal Analyst. The book is purposefully modeled after the Elements of the Law course and provides a wonderfully clear and easy-to-understand introduction to the interdisciplinary concepts taught here. We'll now continue down the hall, just past Classroom 2, to stop at the portrait of Judge Richard Posner. Judge Posner is an incredibly influential judge and scholar, having by far the most opinions in law school casebooks of any judge, and is best known as an innovator in the study of law and economics. Posner was a full-time faculty member here at the law school until 1981, when he was appointed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Although he spends most of his time now presiding over his chambers and writing opinions that law students across the country study for their classes, he also remains a prolific academic and keeps strong ties to the university, teaching both regular courses and a Greenberg seminar each year with Professor Nussbaum on law and literature, as well as hiring several students to work as his research assistants. We'll now take a look at the classrooms on the ground floor of the building. Room 2, which we just passed behind us, and Room 3, which is directly on our left, behind the portrait of Judge Richard Posner, are the classrooms used for 1L classes. If one of them is empty, please feel free to look inside. While we're on the subject of the 1L classrooms, let me take a second to talk about the 1L curriculum. Like most law schools, Chicago organizes its 1L curriculum around a set of core classes, including contracts, civil procedure, criminal law, torts, and property. Unlike most other schools, however, Chicago does not teach constitutional law as part of the 1L curriculum. Rather, we include our Elements of the Law course as a 1L requirement, and then offer constitutional law as a series of electives for students to take during their 2L and 3L years. 1L courses are always taught Socratically. Now, I often have prospective students ask me just how demanding the Socratic method at Chicago is, and when they do, I can usually tell that they have visions of the movie The Paper Chase playing in their minds. But I always tell them that it's really not like the movie. As practiced at Chicago, the Socratic method is a useful and engaging way of learning. Although most students find the Socratic method somewhat daunting at the very beginning of their 1L year, I find that they usually relax within 2 or 3 weeks once everyone has realized that answering a question wrongly every now and then is just an accepted part of the learning process. In the end, students often find that the Socratic method helps them to pay better attention and get more out of their classes. In spring of 1L year, students get to choose one elective course, something that most other law schools do not allow and that is only possible here because of our quarter system. The elective gives students their first chance to delve more deeply into an area of law of particular interest to them. Often they can choose from courses like statutory interpretation, jurisprudence, comparative legal institutions, Roman law, and labor law. After looking at rooms 2 and 3, we'll continue our southward walk along the main floor of the building. We'll climb up a short flight of stairs and take a left to see the law school's clinics. You can go ahead and enter the clinic wing of the building if you like. However, please only do so if you can see that a receptionist is present to buzz you back into the law school when you're done. Since the doors leading back into the main building will lock from the outside. If no receptionist is present, feel free to linger here as we briefly discuss the law school's clinical offerings. When most people think of Chicago, they think of its high claim for teaching legal theory. There's actually a commonly told joke around here in which a student submits his thesis to a professor, and the professor looks it over and says, this might work all well and fine in practice, but does it work in theory? But while it's true that Chicago is well known for its legal theory, the law school also believes that it is important to supplement theory with more practical educational opportunities. Therefore, we offer trial advocacy classes, contract drafting classes, classes taught by legal practitioners and judges, and of course, we also have our clinics. In fact, the law school has 16 clinical offerings, 7 standalone clinics, and the Mandel Legal Aid Clinic's 9 different projects. Students can either take clinics for credit during the academic year or take a paid position with one of the clinics during the summer. We have both transactional-based clinics, like the Corporate Lab or the Entrepreneurship Clinic, and litigation or legislative advocacy-based clinics, like the International Human Rights Clinic or the Mental Health Advocacy Project. Each clinic has a faculty member responsible for supervising the work. Students receive a large amount of responsibility on their projects and play key roles in achieving successful outcomes for their clinic's clients. Third-year students can even apply for a 7-11 license, which allows them to argue before any of the state courts in Illinois. After you're done seeing the clinics, please return to the main building. As you walk westward towards the entrance, take a left to see Classroom 5. Next to the classroom, you'll see a picture of President Barack Obama from when he was a lecturer in law and senior lecturer in law here at the law school from 1992 until he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2004. While here, President Obama primarily taught 3 courses, Current Issues in Racism in the Law, Constitutional Law 3, and Voting Rights and Elections. Across from Classroom 5, you'll notice some pictures mounted on the west wall. One picture is of Sophonisba Breckinridge, our law school's first female graduate. The University of Chicago Law School has accepted students of all genders and races since it was first founded in 1902. Sophonisba Breckinridge was in our very first graduating class. After receiving her JD degree, she founded Chicago's School of Social Service Administration, which is located just one block west of the law school. Next to the picture of Breckinridge, you'll see pictures of some of our first African-American graduates. Jewel Stratford LaFontaine, class of 1946, was the law school's first female African-American graduate and the first female Deputy Solicitor General of the United States. She was also considered for nomination to the Supreme Court by President Nixon. Next to her is John Rogers, class of 1948, who was not only a prominent Chicago lawyer, but also a member of the famed Tuskegee Airmen. Finally, on the right is Earl Dickerson, class of 1920, our school's first African-American graduate. After graduating from the law school, Dickerson was heavily involved with the NAACP and argued Hansberry v. Lee, the case that later served as the basis for the play A Raisin in the Sun. We'll now walk back towards the main entrance to the law school, past the reception desk and elevators, and into the Green Lounge. The Green Lounge is the social center of the law school and is home to two of our most cherished traditions, both cherished because they involve free food. First, Coffee Mess is held every Wednesday morning and includes free Dunkin' Donuts coffee as well as donuts, bagels, oatmeal, fruit, and all other kinds of good stuff. Coffee Mess is a chance to mingle with your fellow students and, since several faculty members usually come, to see your professors in a more informal environment. Our end-of-the-week corollary to Coffee Mess is Wine Mess, a laid-back cocktail reception attended by students, faculty, and administrators. Wine Mess is held each Friday afternoon and serves as another chance to catch up with your classmates and professors in an informal setting. While Coffee Mess has only been a tradition at the law school since the mid-2000s, Wine Mess has been going on for so long that we don't even really know when it started. If you're in the Green Lounge in the middle of the day, you'll often see students eating lunch here. The Law School Cafe, located on the east side of the Green Lounge, serves easy and quick breakfast and lunch options. There is also a dining hall located immediately to the west of the law school that is open to all students, to faculty and staff, as well as to members of the public. At the dining hall, you'll have a more traditional hot and cold fare. Just beyond the student dining hall, there is also a small market located at the bottom of the undergrad dormitory, which features a Subway restaurant and a convenience store. Students also sometimes venture across the midway for lunch at the Booth School of Business or at one of the several student-run cafes in North Campus. Of course, if you're a student here, you often don't even need to buy lunch most days, because one of the great UChicago traditions is what we call lunch talks. Student organizations often sponsor lectures from guest speakers over the lunch hour, and these lectures are almost always catered by a local restaurant. In addition to Chicago traditions like deep dish pizza, lunch talks often feature other Hyde Park cuisines such as Thai food, Mediterranean food, Jimmy John's sandwiches, or Chipotle burritos. At this point, you've now seen the entire law school. We're not a very large school, so it's not a very large building. What we're going to do now is climb up the main set of stairs outside of the Green Lounge to return to the circulation desk located on the second floor of the building in the Law Library, where we will conclude our tour. All right, so now we've come full circle to the circulation desk. At the end of tours, people always ask me why I chose to attend the University of Chicago Law School. I usually tell them that two reasons motivated my decision. The first was Chicago's interdisciplinary approach to legal education, which I thought would be an engaging and exciting way to learn. And the second was the high quality of the faculty. And in both of these respects, the law school has far exceeded my expectations. But now that I'm about to leave the law school, I think that the main reason why I'm happy that I came here is something a little more vague, a little harder to express. You'll often hear certain well-worn phrases bandied around here about the importance of ideas, the life of the mind, or Chicago's culture of debate. And as a student, you end up getting used to them, little inured even. What sets Chicago apart, however, is that those phrases aren't just cliches. They're actually lived out here every day. And that's something that you probably won't find everywhere else. The faculty and students here generally do believe that ideas and open discussion matter, and that they have a large effect on how real cases get decided. And in that respect, at least, the University of Chicago isn't just a place where you go to learn or to get a degree. It represents a whole way of life, a way of thinking, a way of addressing challenges and of attacking social problems. And at least for me, to have been a part of a community devoted to rigorous ideals and thoughtful inquiry has been a tremendously edifying and invaluable experience. So, now that you've toured the law school, what do you do next? If you have time, I highly recommend the following three things for the rest of your visit with us today. First, attend a class. This will give you a chance to see what it is truly like to be immersed in our law school's learning environment. Second, speak with our Dean of Admissions or another member of the admissions team about any questions that you might have about the admissions or financial aid process. And third, please, please take the time to see the rest of the university. It is truly a beautiful campus with so many hidden treasures. You can pick up a piece of paper outlining a quick walking tour of the rest of campus from the Student Services Suite. So now, I'll wish you the best of luck in pursuing your future legal career, whether here or elsewhere, and thank you for joining me on today's tour of the University of Chicago Law School.